Well, I'd like for you to open to two places tonight to start. One is John 14, and the other one is James chapter 1. And I know that's a fairly long pinch. And we're still going to be teaching about healing tonight. Healing is in the atonement and some other things. The title of tonight's message, just so you'll know, is The Doer and the Helper. See, there's a doer and there's a helper. And the body of Christ gets those confused sometimes. You'll see what I mean as we go along. Now, we're going to start in John 14, because that's kind of the launching point for the revival. Most of you listening, you know, you've attached yourself to this ministry one way or another because you heard the assignment that God gave Pastor Dave. And that was to go far enough into God. Take a group of people and go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. And that would just be the beginning to spark a revival around the world. And, you know, with that, God set a hook in your jaw. Can I say that? He caught you. Caught me too. And we've all been drawn here for that. Well, this passage right here, it's really kind of the launching pad for that. And we'll just pick it up where you think. And we'll start in verse 11, John 14, 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now let's just stop. Come on. How many believe on him? Amen. He's talking about us. Amen? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these, and I left out works because it's in italics, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now it's like he's almost repeating word for word in two consecutive verses. And he already said, verily, verily, which means pay attention. This is important. In no uncertain terms, and he's telling them in this passage he's going to be with the Father. So he's talking about after he's ascended to be with the Father. He tells them right there. And he's saying, whatever you ask in my name, these works are going to continue. The works you've seen me do, they're not going to end when I go to be with the Father. They're going to continue, and they're going to continue through you. Now, listen to me straight. He's looking. I can just see him looking right in their eyes. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And as if that's not enough, he says it again. Whatever you ask in my name, anything you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, who in here is going to call him a liar? No, don't raise your hand. I have an altar call. We're not going to call him a liar, are we? Well, I think he meant what he said and said what he meant. So what's the problem? Well, that's kind of what we're looking at tonight. Now keep your place there. We're coming back to John 14. Go over to James chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 22. Now James is written to believers. You don't go out and tell the world to be doers of the word, do you? It's believers, right? So James 1, starting in verse 22, but be you doers of the word. What are we supposed to be? We're the doers. We're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only. What happens if you're a person that only hears? Deceiving your own selves. You don't even need the devil to deceive you. If all you do is ever come in here, and you never do, you're deceiving your own self. Somewhere down the road, a little later on, might be months, might be years, you'll say, this stuff don't work. And why? You never became a doer. Previews of coming attractions, I mentioned it once, but I'm still developing this. So you're never going to go from milk to meat until you become a doer of the word. And I don't care how many seminars you go to. Do you ever hear that verse, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth? See, milk will just stay milk. Hebrews, when it talks about going from milk to meat, it talks about by reason of use, you have your senses exercised. Use of what? Use of the word. You got to become a doer. That's not tonight's message. That'll preach, won't it? Okay. Tonight's message, we're going to get it straight. Who is the doer and who is the helper? So verse 22 again, be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I'm going to get a little more focused where we are. We're talking about healing right now, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. We'll come and you'll hear these wonderful messages from the Word of God. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We hear all these things. You've been given a name that's above every name. You've been seated in Christ far above all principality and power. And we hear and we hear and we hear and we get out. Then we leave the church. Wasn't that a great sermon? And we see the first person in a wheelchair and we don't do. Did you hear an amen? I did not hear one. Hearers. Well, what I need is another conference. Well, I'm all about hearing the word. I love the word. I love conferences. I love hearing the word. But somebody, sometime, has got to become a doer. We keep singing songs like we want the Holy Spirit to be the doer. Rain down. Holy, I can't sing worth a hoot. Holy, you may not even recognize the song from me trying. Holy Spirit, rain down. I sing those and cry along with everybody else until it dawns on me. He ain't going to rain down. He's going to rain from within me because I am the temple of the God. He don't rain down. He rains from. So, Smith Wigglesworth used to say, if the Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. And I admire Smith, but I thought, man, what in the world is he talking about? I know now what he's talking about. You're going to know by the time this service is over tonight. Real clear what that means. Okay, so I am going to try and finish this passage right here. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You come to a service and you hear the word and you see yourself. You're a conqueror. You have the name of Christ. You're seated in heavenly places. That's who you are. Yes, I hear it and I see myself. I see me. That's who I am. Yes. Until you go outside. For he beholds himself, but then goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This is the work of the ministry, but it's not just the fivefold. This is the work of believers who shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is the work of believers who in his name shall cast out devils. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his knowledge. No? This man shall be blessed in his church attendance. I'm for knowledge. I'm all for church attendance. What's the subject? God will bless you when you start doing the word. He's going to bless you with doing what he said he'd do. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You'll be blessed in your deed, action. Now, if any man among you seem to be religious, now get this part. This is one of the works. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own what? Here we go again. Deceive your own heart. You don't need the devil to come deceive you. But this man's religion is vain, and it just simply means it doesn't produce any results. Who is our prototype? Looking unto who? Jesus. Search it for yourself. See if you ever find him one time speaking against the word of God. See if you ever one time see him speaking the circumstances instead of what God says. You won't find it. Back to John 14. Aren't you glad? No. Let's read those three verses again, then let's go on a little more. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now let's stop there for a moment. This other comforter. You guys have known forever the word comforter in Greek. You remember? Parakletos. What does it mean? It means advocate. It does mean comforter. But the primary meaning is one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit is not the doer. The Holy Spirit is the helper. You are the doer. The Holy Spirit's not commanded to do the word. The believer is commanded to do the word. But the Holy Spirit has been called alongside to help. Okay? Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that's when you received power. Now, I'm not talking about the power to walk sin free. You got that from the new nature. We're talking about the power to open blind eyes, make the lame to walk, the blind to see. In fact, there is nothing that's bigger than this power that you received. Amen? And that's Acts 1:8. You don't have to turn there. Let me just remind you. He told them, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, and he wants us with power to be his witnesses. Not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto Tulsa, Sepulpa, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, for God's sake, Dallas. I love Dallas. What if I said it this way? You shall receive power. How many wants power? I do. I'm talking about that kind of power. Blind eye opening, disease. I mean, I want to walk up to cancer and watch cancer skedaddle like a scalded dog. Power. What if I said it this way? You shall receive power after the helper has come upon you. And didn't he just say he's the Parakletos? He's the one called alongside to help. Now, to illustrate this, tonight, I've already done this once, but I've had more time to think about it. I'm going to use the analogy again of the overhead crane operator and the crane that he operates. way back in the days when dinosaurs, well, no, it was back in the 60s. I think it was the summer between my junior and senior year. I got an internship job as an engineer, industrial engineer, with Laclede Steel Company in East Alton, where we lived in East Alton, Illinois. But it was just across the tracks and across the river on the east side from St. Louis. And I had a job there, working there that summer. And this is a steel mill, and they fabricated all kinds of steel beams. I mean, I-beams from not so big to huge, all kinds of trusses. This is heavy stuff. A man, many of those I-beams, I don't care how big you are, you couldn't come with all your strength and lift up the end of one. You couldn't budge it. You couldn't move it an eighth of an inch. It's so heavy. Okay? So because of that, and they had to pick up these beams and load them on trucks and send them out. Plus, sometimes they'd pick them up and move them even within the plant because holes had to be drilled in them and different things had to go to different parts. So they had this massive overhead crane. This thing was big. It was way up near the top. And there was a compartment, a little cabin, a little building on one end of it. And that's where the operator operated. And he moved with the crane. Okay. And during part of that summer, one of my jobs was to do some time studies up there and see how things were done. Okay. So I spent maybe 2 weeks in the cab of that crane with this fella. And I'm going to, in this analogy, now let me tell you about him. The operator, he's the believer in our analogy. He's the doer. The crane, that's the helper. With all of that power and all of that strength. Okay? The operator's the doer. Now, what I mean by that, let me get my notes here. Now, first off, notice this. Can you picture this guy? He had to climb up a long ladder. Then he walked over and he stepped inside the crane. And he sat down and he put his hands on the controls. By the way, the controls look like a modern day, like a video game, almost like joysticks. You know, there was a little bit more to it, but primarily he moved them just like you move joysticks on a video game. And they were not hard to move. They were easy. He could almost do it with like two fingers. Tap, 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 tap. Move, move, move. His part was easy, okay? But whatever he did with those things, when he would move it, that crane would move. And the hook would go up and down and whatever, you know, the crane was subject to him. The crane helped him. Okay? When he walked into the cab of that crane, closed the door, and sat down, he and the crane became one. When you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, for all practical purposes, you and the Holy Ghost became one. You got that? The man is the doer in this analogy. The crane is the helper. Now get this. That crane had tremendous power. When I talk about it, I have all these visual pictures that I remember. So I'm trying to convey to you how powerful that crane was. Literally, you could have driven your car, and if you had a big car, you know, like a town car or something, you drove it in there, hooked it onto that crane could pick your car up like a toy. I've seen that thing pick up I-beams that, and they would band them together. It wouldn't just pick up one. I mean, those things were massive and heavy, and it would pick up, they might have six of them banded together. I mean, those I-beams might be from the floor up higher than my knee, that tall, maybe yay wide, heavy, 20 foot long. They'd band six of them together. That crane would pick up all six of them, move it over, load them on a flatbed truck. They'd band it, send that truck off, bring in the next truck. I mean, I'm trying to give you an idea how powerful that thing was. And compared to the Holy Ghost, it had almost no power at all. The crane had great power. But now get this. The crane never moved on its own. You could sit there and watch that crane with no operator in the cab. You could sit there till Jesus comes, which might be Thursday. But anyway, no. You could sit there till Jesus comes. You would never see that crane move on its own. It is the helper. It is not the doer. Now, by the way, I remember that particular guy, and it's perfect for this illustration. He was a nice fella, friendly. But I remember he was overweight. He liked to eat Cheetos and potato chips and what we today would call a big gulp, soft drink. He had a big kind of a beer belly. I don't know if it was really beer, but it was that kind of belly. And I remember every now and then he'd forget to button, or maybe he'd pop the button on a couple of buttons right in the middle of his shirt. And I remember a couple of times I could see his belly button. What I'm trying to get you, this guy is not perfect. I remember the cab. I don't know if anybody in 20 years had cleaned the cab of that crane. I mean, dust, dirt. I remember wadded up Cheeto bags on the floor sometimes, potato chip bags. I mean, he's overweight. And those days, everybody smoked. I mean, he smoked cigars. As soon as you walked in, the place, I mean, it wasn't a very big cab in the first place. I mean, it just reeked of cigar smoke. Every now and then, now I wrote this real nice for church. Every now and then, he would belch. And at other times, he would expel gas other ways. Are you getting the picture I'm trying to draw here? This guy is a long way from perfect. That's enough. I've gone far. Okay, that's fine. Okay, y'all got the picture. But there's some other things you need to know about the guy. He had been trained. Plus, there was a radio in that cab where any time that management wanted to give him instruction, he could pick up that little, it looked like a phone thing. He'd pick it up, and he was in communication with headquarters. Or let me say it this way. He was in communication with management. And he also had printed instruction sometimes. You know, what was on the agenda for the day? What kind of work was going to be done? What kind of I-beams? What kind of beams were going to be loaded on trucks and so forth? But if any adjustments needed to be made, he was in constant contact with management, if need be. Okay? He had also been trained on how to operate the joysticks. Now, I got to tell you, from what I saw, it doesn't take a whole lot of training. If you move them to the left, the crane, wonder of wonders, would go to the left. You move it to the right, it'd go to the right. It had these other little controls that would raise the, you know, it had a big hook thing there, raise it up, lower it. There wasn't a whole lot. I think you could learn in about one afternoon everything you needed to know about how to operate the joysticks. But you did have to know that. There was a few things you had to know. Okay? So I wrote it this way. The man had been trained in the manual. For those that can't see him, I'm holding up my Bible. He had been trained in the manual on how to operate the crane. What if I said it this way? He had been trained in the manual to how to be a doer of the work when it comes to the crane. He did know that. I think we have some instructions on how to do the work that Jesus is talking about. For example, we have instructions that say, lay hands on the sick. Don't we? I used to think we had an instruction that said, pray for the sick. But when I really got to searching it out, I can't find where Jesus ever said that. He said, heal the sick. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Be my witness. These are some of the controls of our crane. And let me mention this. That man would not have kept his position as the crane operator very long. He would have got fired unless he was willing to subordinate his will regarding the crane underneath the will of management. Right? In other words, the crane is not for him to use for his own personal agenda. The crane is not for his amusement. Now, the workman is worthy of his hire. He got a paycheck. You know, Jesus said that. The workman is worthy of his hire. He got a paycheck. But his operation of the crane, in order for him to keep that job, it always had to be for the advancement of the company. What if I said the kingdom? Seek ye first the kingdom. If you can picture in your mind now, day's work. That crane was busy nearly all the time. I mean, moving and picking up stuff and moving these beams and setting them down. And people would drill holes and do stuff. And while they're doing that, he'd go pick up another thing. And then, you know, maybe he'd be loading the truck, you know. And he'd know now which pile goes on which truck, which beams go on which truck. And he'd be loading it. That thing would be working all day long. And that guy never breaks a sweat. He's just up there eating Cheetos and slurping his Big Gulp. Smoking his cigar. Amen? Can you see the picture? But the doer was doing the doing. And the helper was doing the helping. He never asked the helper to take hold of the controls. That was his job. You got that? Now, the crane, in that analogy, does not decide which truck gets loaded. The crane did not decide which bundle of steel went on which crane. Management decided all of that. The instruction came down to the operator. The operator did the work. He operated the controls, and the helper helped accomplish the mind of management. That sound like the mind of Christ? You got a constant radio connection with management. Now see, this analogy is not perfect because the Holy Spirit is not an inanimate object like the crane. This helps us, I think. But he is more than an inanimate object. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third member of the Godhead. See, he's not only the one who helps perform the work. He's actually the one who brings you the mind of Christ in the first place. He is your radio. He is your contact with headquarters. He is how you get your instructions. Amen? Now, does that help a little bit? Who is the doer? We are the doers. Who is the helper? The Holy Spirit is the helper. If we're waiting on him to move first, that crane will never ever move. That it will never happen. Even in Genesis, the very beginning, Genesis 1, where it talks about God wanted light and the Holy Spirit was there, able to make light at any time. He even knew the Father wanted light. But even there, he didn't do anything until the word was spoken by the second member of the Godhead. Light be, and only then light was. You get this? He understands his role. He is the comforter. He is the paracletos. He is the helper, and he is the power. You shall receive power after the helper, the Holy Spirit, comes upon you. It's time for us to step in the cab. Really, we already are. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're in the cab. You and the Holy Ghost are one, if you want to know the truth of it. That cab operator and that crane were one. Neither could do the work without the other. For sure, that little puny, beer-bellied, Cheeto-dusted, gassy operator. He couldn't have gone down there and lifted one end of one I-beam an eighth an inch off the ground. He couldn't do it. No matter how hard he tried, he could fast. He could pray. He could go to the gym. He could work out. And a year later, he still wouldn't be able to move that beam, not an eighth of an inch. It's impossible. The Holy Ghost moving that beam, I could move six of them at once. Not a problem. But the Holy Spirit cannot operate the controls. Somebody has to be a doer. And the Holy Spirit is the helper. Amen? All right, now this next segment, let's talk about the leadership that comes from headquarters, okay? You can be turned to Isaiah 53. Put a marker in Matthew 8. I taught on this to some degree already in this journey a few sessions ago, but we're going to do it again. A little review and go a little farther. Is that okay? Well, I'm going to do it whether it's okay or not, so might as well say it's okay. See, we have to understand the will of God when it comes to healing. This is not hard. It's really not hard. Healing is in the atonement. We're going to look at it here again. Healing is in the atonement exactly the same way that salvation is in the atonement. We don't have any problem knowing that God wants everybody saved. And we know anybody can be saved if they're willing to meet the conditions. You've got to repent, trust in Jesus, so forth and so on. Amen? But anybody can be saved, and we know we don't have a problem knowing it is the will of the Father. You know, it says he's not willing that any would perish. If he had his way, nobody would ever wind up in hellfire. Will they? Oh, yeah. But that's not his will. Now, healing is in the atonement the same way that salvation is in the atonement. Now, if words mean anything, that means it's not his will that any be sick. Okay, let me show you again. Let's do it again. We have to understand the will of God regarding healing. Healing is in the atonement. Healing is for all just as much as salvation is for all. That's why Jesus healed all who came to him. In order to fulfill Isaiah 53:4, he had to heal them all. Let me say it a different way. If he didn't heal them all, he did not fulfill Isaiah 53:4. Yet Matthew says he healed them all so that he would fulfill Isaiah 53:4. So Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, I did a study a few sessions ago that's at the website already. There's a PDF attached to it where I went through where it says griefs and sorrows. We looked at those two Hebrew words, and 99% of the time, they're translated sickness and pain. And see, Matthew, you've got Matthew 8, right? Now, don't lose Isaiah. We're coming back. Matthew 8, here we have the Holy Ghost interpretation of what Isaiah was saying back there. So Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17, when the evening was come, at sundown, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed how many? All that were sick. And if he hadn't have, Matthew could not have written this next sentence by the Holy Ghost. He healed all that were sick that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That word infirmities, you can look it up. It's Strong's G769. It's pronounced something like asthenia. And what it means is feebleness of body, disease, infirmity, sickness, weakness. Now, go back to Isaiah 53 for a minute. Come on down just a little bit there to Isaiah 53:11. See, up there when we read in Isaiah 53:4, where it says he carried our sorrows, that is the Hebrew word sabal, S-A-B-A-L. It literally means to take on your shoulders and carry away. All right? Sabal. Say sabal. S-A-B-A-L. Sabal. Got it? Isaiah 53:11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear, and that's the same word, sabal, their iniquities. Same word. Same word where he bore your iniquities, he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. Let me impact your brain. If he didn't carry your sicknesses, he didn't carry your iniquities, and you're still in your sins. We don't believe that for a second, do we? He bore my sin. I don't know about you. No, I do. I know he bore my iniquity. Well, if I'm going to believe that part of the word, sabal, if he bore my iniquities, he bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Well, how many people did he bear their iniquities? He bore them for everybody. Well, how many people did he bear their sicknesses and pains? He bore them for everybody. This is what we mean when we say the healing is in the atonement. No wonder Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. See, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, they got to see him for 3.5 years. 3.5 years they got to watch. We're going to look at another one here in a minute. But just like this one here, they bring all these sick, they bring all these demon-possessed, and they're watching. And they watch him heal them all. Some of those meetings were big. Thousands of people. Thousands of people. See, your natural mind, will, you're looking at them. And see, we go by this too quick. It's a meeting. He's teaching and preaching. He's getting their faith built up. Now it's time for the manifestation. All right, everyone that needs healing, come forward or bring them up here on their stretchers or whatever, however you see it happening. But that part of the meeting is about to happen. And you're sitting there watching and you're not sick. And there, some of the people they're bringing up might be little grandmas and nice looking people. And one of them they're bringing up there, you know for sure that guy's a thief. You know him. So, well, he ain't going to get nothing. He ain't going to get nothing. That guy's a thief. And there's that other one over there. He's just mean. That guy's always mean. He's just mean all the time. And you're thinking, well, he ain't going to get nothing. But you watch in amazement. Jesus heals them all. Now, he may instruct some of them. He always healed them and then said things like, go and sin no more. But he would heal them first. Why? Because it's not based on them. It's based on his work. It's based on his finished work. It's based on the atonement. He would heal them and then say, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. How could he legally do that? Because the same Jesus that bore their sin is the same Jesus that bore their sickness and carried their pain. We've got to understand. See, when it comes to the headquarters, if you want to know what is the mind of Christ from headquarters, that they all be healed. 100% of the time. Now, there's going to be rare exceptions. See, the natural mind will run to the very few exceptions that we have in the New Testament. And I mean, there's only a few. Like the guy, the first thing they'll think, I'm going to do the toad thing again. Well, I've never heard nothing like that in my life. Brother Gary, the toad. Can you see toad? The toad thing. Brother Gary. What about the man that Paul turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh? What about Alexander and Hymenaeus that they learned not to bless? What if you prayed for them, Brother Gary? That's about it. We've got like two or three examples in the New Testament Even in those cases, let's take the guy who had his father's wife. Okay, maybe while he's still in his rebellion, okay, he probably wouldn't get healed till he repents. Do you do know he got healed, right? Read 2 Corinthians, you'll find out. And to be restored, okay? Yeah, he might not would have while he's still in his rebellion. Why are you picking on the two or three exceptions rather than focus on the thousands upon thousands upon thousands that Jesus healed them all? See, the attitude I have now is this. The default position, headquarters wants them healed. The mind of Christ is, he wants them healed. And if he doesn't want them healed, that's when he needs to tell me. Other than that, I'm going in just like when I see, Jesus said, if you want to know the will of the Father, look at me. Well, what do you see? He healed them all. What's the will of the Father? To heal them all. And if there is a rare case, rare, that's what I expect to hear from the Holy Ghost. Say, well, no, not. But you don't even find that one time with Jesus. Anyway, please don't focus on the time. Don't focus on the gnat and swallow the camel, okay? Camel of unbelief. I think, doesn't matter what I think. The word says he healed them all. He healed them all. I'm going to go with that premise. He healed them all. What's his will? To heal you. When? Now. And if there's any exception, I expect the Holy Ghost to let me know that. Otherwise, expect to be healed right now. I'm preaching a lot better than you guys are amening, but that's okay. Now, let's look at this same account, Matthew 8:17. I want you to see Luke's account of the same thing. Go to Luke 4. There's such a tender thing here that just so precious to me, this image of the shepherd among the sheep. It's the very same thing. What had happened, Jesus had come in. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. He rebuked the fever, took her by the hand, and she was healed. And she began ministering to them. Then that same evening, the people brought all their sick, and Jesus healed them all. But look at Luke's account of the same thing. Let me find it here. It's Luke 4, 40 is what I have, but I want to back up just a little. Verse, just so you'll see it's the same thing, back up into 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever. You're going to be doing that. In his name, you're going to be doing that. Rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Got it? Same thing. Now when the sun was setting, Matthew's account said when it was even. Same thing. When the sun was setting, all they that had, boy, if you underline, any sick with them. Any sick with diverse diseases, all different kinds. Divers means diversities, all different kinds. They brought them unto him. I love this part. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. There's something about that image of the shepherd. Here comes the sheep, and they've been beat up by the devil. Sicknesses and diseases, God only knows what came in that line. One by one, he took time. The shepherd took time. One by one, laid his hands on them and healed them. And there were no exceptions. Don't you know there were some in there that spoke ugly to their spouse that day? Don't you know there was somebody that kicked their dog or cat that day? Don't you know there was somebody that... But there's no exceptions. He healed them all. And Matthew says, the fact that he healed them all, that fulfills the prophecy by Isaiah 53:4. Himself took our bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, took our infirmities, carried our sickness. Isn't that good stuff? Good stuff. I love this. All right. We're doing pretty good. Now this part, I'm going to go where angels fear to tread, like I haven't already. I'm going through, now you are, how many of you know I love the prayer center. I love Dave Roberson, who's sitting right there. I love the message, and I've been a doer of the message, and I still believe in doing the message. But there is an adjustment happening in my thinking. There's an adjustment happening. And I believe it's called maturity. Okay? I love what Alan taught, where he used the illustration of the little baby. And we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we are to grow thereby. Amen? We are to desire that. I don't know what age the Lord would say, you know, if I was, I mean, I'm 70 in the natural, but in the spirit, he might look at me and go, well, you're about 7, 8, 9. I don't know what I would be. Maybe I'm older than that, maybe younger. I remember that friend of Dave's that was here one time. He was talking about one time, he was just asking the Lord. He says, Lord, he was just kind of wondering, on a scale of 0 to 100, no, the Lord asked him, that's right, the Lord asked him, on a scale of 0 to 100, where do you think your maturity level is? He says, being a humble man, I picked a number that I thought was considerably lower than where I really thought I was walking. But he was holding his hand about like this, you know, I mean, those that can't see me, I'm holding it up about eye level, I guess, you know. And he was saying, I picked a number somewhat lower than where I thought I really was. And he says, at that instant, on the back wall of the church, there appeared a thermometer that went from 0 to 100. And a light started flashing 2 inches off the floor. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. But now this is the image that's been coming to me. And I'm going to get Mike to help me. Cameraman, I know it's rare for me to move. I'm going to put this where they can see you, Mike. And I'm doing this because Mike is such a healthy specimen that no matter what I say, it's not going to affect him. And for those that can't see me, I've got Mike sitting here in a chair. Mike is a relatively, he's thin. He's in shape. He's not gassy. he's not overweight, you know. I mean, he's but for the benefit of this, I want him to kind of, you're the sick guy, and you're going to kind of slump over like this, just a little, about like that. And he's like the beggar on the side of the road, but let's get a real severe case. He's got hours, maybe days to live. Let's don't put a name on it. We could say cancer, we could say leukemia, we could say a lot of things. Doesn't matter what it is. But he's near death. Without a miracle, he's going to die. You got that picture? Come here, Holy Ghost. I need the Holy Ghost again. Now, the reason I ask him to help me, because he's a big guy. See, now, I'm the crane operator, am I not? He's the Holy Ghost. Come over here, walk right behind me here. Look how big he is. I mean, whatever I can pick up, he can pick up more. Now, he should be infinitesimally bigger, because this is not a real good analogy. Okay, because the Holy Ghost is so much bigger than any of us. But I don't know how else to teach it. For benefit of those that can't see me, I've got this great big guy standing right beside me, and he goes everywhere I go. Now, I may be a child. I know I don't look it, so that, you know. But let's say I'm 8. But Lily's 9. Let's say I'm 9 years old. And let's say I got all kinds of strong. Okay. I am the Cheetos guy. I'm not going to do it, but I got 2 buttons undone. You can see my belly button. You know, I haven't showered in a week. Got Cheeto dust in my hair. Maybe I'm a little gassy. In other words, I got strongholds. I got problems. Did you know that the day that Peter, that the lame man, born lame from his mother's womb, the day that Peter healed him, Peter still believed you were under the law regarding the diet. Yeah, later on is when he got free of that. Yeah, he had false doctrine in him. The day he healed the day that the Lord through him healed that lame man, Peter at that moment thought only Jews could be saved, even though Jesus had told him otherwise. False doctrine. He wasn't perfect, is what I'm saying. All right? So I'm the gassy Cheetos dust, belly sticking out of my shirt, crane operator, but here's the crane. I got the Holy Ghost. And we're walking by, and we happen to walk by a man that's almost dead. He's in a wheelchair on the side of the road. And I walk by and I see him. And he looks up at me. Go ahead and look up at me. And he kind of holds out his hand. And he asked, I'll ask it, but he's asking the question, will Jesus heal me? Now, is the prayer center's answer going to be, he wants to, but he'd rather I'd work on my strongholds? I know you're in a serious situation. I know it might be death. But he can't do it through me. Even though I've got the crane right here. You got to understand, this crane don't have no strongholds. This crane is full grown. This crane is all power. This crane, I would tell you the truth, he could care. He don't care if I have Cheeto dust and bad breath and gassy. Do I know how to work the controls? What are the controls in this case? Yes, Jesus will heal you now. Because I have hands. I have hands and I have his word. And I'm operating the joystick. And I have the name that's above every name. He'll heal you now, right now, in Jesus' name. Stand up on your feet and walk. In Jesus' name, be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you go work on your strongholds. We want you, trust me, we want you to work on your. But some of us have been at this 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Honey, the days for being a hearer only are over. Over. You got the crane with you. You got the helper with you. You got the Holy Ghost with you. And it's time to be about our Father's business. Thank you. Give them a hand. Is that good stuff or what? Praise the Lord. Well, what if it don't work? What if it does? And I'll tell you right now, if from what you see it don't work, you keep your big blab mouth shut. He that does not bridle his tongue, that man's religion is vain. Well, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't see nothing. I don't think nothing happened. Shut up. Is that clear enough? You're making your own religion vain with that stuff. You never hear Jesus talking against the Word of God. I'm tired of putting them in the ground. Tired of it. Jesus is tired of it. If he can get tired. Anyway, I'm going to read this page to you and then somebody go start the car. I'm getting out of here quick. We need to start thinking, church, prayer center, those of you around the world that have joined us and you're not novices, you've been at this a while, come on. Are you old enough yet to know you don't get the glory? That's the number one thing you see. When that starts happening, people want to give you the glory. They did it with Peter. They did it with Paul. And even with their strongholds, they knew not to take the glory. Come on, don't you? You're mature enough to know the glory goes to him, right? Are you mature enough to know you can't sell a healing? Come on. We're mature enough for this. Sorry. No, I'm not. We need to start thinking from the perspective of those who are desperate for healing. Like I had Mike in that chair a while ago. If we walk up to a deathbed case and they only have hours, maybe days to live, we are born-again Christians, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and that person wants healing from Jesus, is our response going to be, quote, oh, I know Jesus bore your sickness and carried your pain, but he's not able to do the work through me because I have so many strongholds. Really? Is that our answer? Christ in it, you telling me Christ in me wants to walk by and leave that person to die? Because I'm still in the process of mortification? Holy Ghost isn't in the process of mortification. You got the helper with you. Operate the controls, Cheeto dust and all. You hear me? So here's some questions. I'm not going to answer any of these. I'm just going to let you meditate on these. Number one, do we have authority over sickness, disease, and devils or not? Number two, do we have the name of Jesus that is above every name that is named or not? Three, do we have the Holy Ghost, the Helper, who is the very power of God or not? Here's a tough one. Do you have hands? You're on your way. Look, everyone look. See if you still got them. I'm on my way. I got hands. Do we have the command to lay hands on the sick or not? I heard one of them say, see if I can get this right, said something like this. He said, well, I don't lay hands on the sick because I'm afraid nothing will happen. So the guy asked him, he said, so you're being disobedient to the command of Jesus because you're afraid nothing will happen. Why don't you go ahead and be obedient to Jesus? Lay hands on him, and then if nothing happens, at least you were obedient. I mean, if your worst fear comes to pass and nothing happens, wouldn't you rather be obedient than disobedient? I like that. Another one of those questions. If we are obedient to do the word, will the Holy Spirit not do his part? What do you think? Who's more faithful? You or God? Eight. Are we telling the sick? Is this our message to the sick? Our personal transformation is more important than whether they live or die? Listen, God wants us, He wants us to continue transformation. Don't stop. Fasting and prayer, worship and the word, don't stop. Continue mortification. But let's begin being obedient to be doers of the word. You are the doer. And the Holy Spirit is not going to move without you being obedient to be a doer. That crane will sit there idle till Jesus comes. The power of the Holy Ghost will be in you inactive until you begin to act on the Word of God. And above all things, bridle your tongue. Quit ever giving voice to the enemy side. Don't ever let your tongue agree with circumstances instead of the word. Bridle that thing. Learn to bridle it. And Jesus never spoke against the word of God, no matter what he saw. Let us do the same. Who's the doer? We are. Who's the helper? Holy Ghost. Let's be about our Father's business. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Oh, I did too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss you now. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you this too, that lay hands on the sick and they shall recover is not really a church verse. Now, if you need healing, we want you to come tonight and get healed. But what's going to happen through this, you're going to be so healed, we got to go outside the church to find somebody sick. That lay hands on the sick is not really for the church. That's for the lost. And it's a sign. One preacher says, healing is God's dinner bell. It gets their attention. Then when they come, you preach the gospel and get them saved. Amen? Amen.